Wonderful, Lord. Last night we were talking about praise, and I just want to pick up there for, I don't think it'll be more than a few minutes. I had you looking up verses. Psalm 66. The first four verses. And by the way, those of you who were here the other day, here's another usage of that word. We talked about God being awful and terrible, and here in the King James it uses that. And if you're using another translation, you'll see the word that is translated, whatever it is a description of God and his works. That's in the third verse here. But Psalm 66 says, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands, sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name." It goes on about the works of God. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. How great and mighty and majestic and glorious is our God. And you have some of the history of his workings among his people and for his people here in these Psalms. And all that he has done is perfect. As for God, his ways are perfect, and he deserves our praise. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible or awesome art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. For those of you who have interest in these things, I'd just like to say this. I have been greatly blessed by consideration lately of those years, years in the history of God's people after the exile. And thinking about Haggai, Zechariah, Ezra, Nehemiah, and just quickly, if anyone else is interested, and the prophets that prophesied of those days, Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and so on. If anyone is interested in these things, and I hope you are, you can find an incident that occurred just at the very same time that God was giving this word to Zerubbabel through the prophet Zechariah. And as he gave it to Zerubbabel, the leader, he was giving it to all of his people. As he was giving the people of God of that day, he was giving his people this word, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Something very wonderful was happening. An incident that proved that God was working in the behalf of his people. You can find it in 4 and 5 of the book of Ezra, when a local leader appealed to the Persian king to stop this work, and it was under his authority and power. You'd think he would listen to his own governor. But you see, God had a purpose. You read it for yourself, how he stretched forth his hand and said, no, you let those people do their work. Don't hinder them. And also he said, you supply, bring them supplies. I mean, it was great. It wasn't just a lifting of a ban and a removal of the opposition, but I order you to bring them the supplies that they need to continue their work. I didn't tell you the whole story. Read it. You'll be blessed. All right? Ezra 4 and 5, you see God working. As we keep our eyes upon him, he accomplishes his work, as we trust in him and not in ourselves, calling upon him, knowing that it is really true, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. He will work for his people and carry forward his work. Last night we looked at Psalm 150. Please turn to that page again. And I just want to call your attention to the psalm that is right before. That would be 149. Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Now we could just stick with this first verse. I was talking about praising the Lord outside of meeting and inside of meeting last night. But here's one. Here's a command to you to praise the Lord in this meeting this morning. How about that? Isn't that something? So it's not just this thing that I'm writing, you know, and insisting upon trying to get you to do what I want you to do. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Last night, as we were praising the Lord here, and he was really giving us an opening and giving us some liberty in praise, it was really a wonderful thing. I thank God for that, for those moments after meeting last night when he came to take over. You know, we were taught and have been taught over all the years that, you're going to say, I know this already, we don't praise the Lord because we feel something, because we feel like praising him. Otherwise, we could use the excuse, I'm not going to do that, I don't feel it, I don't want to be a hypocrite. And my father would say, that's real hypocrisy. Well, anyway, I don't feel anything, so I'm not going to do it now till I feel it. We praise the Lord because he is worthy of our praise. And we praise the Lord obeying his word. He has told us to do so. And often we've been taught, you may not feel anything, but you sing his praise and you tell forth his goodness in faith. You take that step of faith and you obey the Lord. And when you do, he will meet you. And there will be that time when he comes to take over. As you have obeyed him and come before his presence with singing, entered his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, you are thankful to him, and you bless his name, and you focus upon him. Of course, you have already asked him to remove any hindrance and to sprinkle you with his precious blood. But you come now into his house and into his presence, and the people are praising the Lord, and I'm not going to because I don't feel like it. No, I will praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so you will to do his will, and you open your mouth, and you praise the Lord in the congregation of the saints. And what happens after a time? After a time, as Brother Dale was telling me last night, the water starts to flow. When you go to those old pumps and you pump a few times and nothing comes out, you know, you have to just keep doing it. And sooner or later, if there's any water down there, and there is spiritually, for the fountain never runs dry, there it begins to flow. Cool, clear water, refreshing streams, praise the Lord. And he touches you, and he meets you, and he actually sings through you and praises because he anoints you and makes your worship acceptable in his sight. And it sounds good. I heard you singing the other day. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear, Lord, as I tell you that I love you, as I lift my voice in praise to you. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And it goes beyond that, doesn't it? As he is pleased, he comes to bless you and to do his work in you. You're opening your heart to him, and he works to strengthen you and to carry forward his work. Someone said last night, delight yourself also in the Lord. And what does he do when you do that? He gives you the desires of your heart. Toward the end of our time here together last night, Brother Frank here told us about a testimony that he had heard. He said he felt prompted to share that testimony. I'm not going to share it tonight. I often find that those people who stay, I just want to give you a little encouragement. It gets better, and usually some of the best things are right near the end. I'm not going to tell you what Brother Frank said. I'm just going to tell you the theme. You missed it. Okay, but anyway, some of you were here, actually several of you. And he told about a man who turned away from his problems, as big as they were. They were a big mountain. And he turned away from them, and he resolved to praise the Lord and to give the Lord the honor and the glory that is his due. And he was about to pray. These things were pressing him down so hard that he was just going to bury his face in the carpet. Frank said, oh, now I'm telling the story. Okay. Maybe it's something good for us to hear. And tell the Lord how sad he was and how burdened he was about this thing. And then something happened. As soon as his knees touched the floor, he started to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. He started to praise his name for his goodness. He started to just thank him that he was a God of power and might and able. God is able. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. But I don't think he was even, did you say he didn't even think? He was so lost in praising the Lord that he didn't even think of these things that were pressing him down so hard. Family needs, great sorrows that had come, evil tidings. When he stepped off the plane, did you say, he heard bad news, things that had happened in his absence, and he was just going to, I guess he was ready to stay up all night and just call on God and tell God how burdened he was. And instead, the Lord lifted his burden and gave him praise in the Holy Ghost. And he found that the needs were met. Oh, it went on for several hours. He just praised the Lord and praised the Lord, and God met those needs. And it reminded me of delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. He will meet your need, and above and beyond that which you ask or think shall be yours as you focus your attention on him and give him the glory that is his due. Believe with all your heart that it is his work and not yours yours, he must intervene, and so you praise him, for he is able. And last night, as Frank was speaking, and even before that, I thought of this Psalm 149, which I just read with you, and what a blessing God made it in my life one evening when a friend of mine who had moved away years ago, he came to our church for a time with his family, and he was a brother dearly beloved. It kind of hurt to see him go, and he felt that it was what God wanted, and he moved his family to Puerto Rico. And once in a while, he comes back, and I see him, and my heart rejoices. He's been here, and he's been in church, and his mother lives in the area yet there in Brooklyn. So he comes to see her. He stops in to see us, and it was in the summer, and it was a very small Friday night meeting. And John came in, and he sat there, and I was so happy to see him. And the Lord put something on his heart, and he read this psalm. And he encouraged us to praise the Lord. I guess we had been praising the Lord already, and he was happy to come in and be reminded of how it was when he was here, just looking to Jesus, and I mean when he was in Ridgewood, looking to Jesus and worshiping God, turning our eyes on him. But he encouraged us to lift our voices in praise. And you know, after he read this psalm, he said, brothers and sisters, or I think he said folks, it's an honor to praise the Lord. It's an honor, he repeated it, his voice got stronger. It's an honor to praise the Lord. It's an honor to praise the Lord. This honor, it says, have all his saints. And he just emphasized that. It's an honor. It's an honor to praise the Lord. And he talked about the fact that when we give ourselves to the Lord in praise, and we are joyful in him, and we sing aloud. And when he was talking about that time when the Lord takes over, as I was saying before, and he referred this, and we have referred this sixth verse to that time, the high praise of God. Let the high praises of God. I think I heard some of those high praises of God yesterday evening, and oh, they sound so good. You just want to join in and touch God and have him touch you, and let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. And here's where this is part of the honor, I believe. To execute vengeance upon the heathen. When God puts his word in your mouth and God puts his praises in your heart and they flow forth, something happens, and it's not what you do. That's the thing. Zechariah comes in here again. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. God works through us. It's something that he does. It's beyond what we know. God works beyond. He works far and wide when his people trust him. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. If you read that story in Ezra, that local governor that wanted to hinder the work of God, he was stopped. He was bound with chains because the Spirit of the Lord was intent on finishing the work. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. Think of it. God working through his people in such mighty ways. If they are humbled before him and give him all the glory, he wants to do that. He wants to use you. He wants to use you like that. Oh, that we might be yielded to him. It's an honor, folks. It's an honor to praise the Lord, to be one of his saints. It's an honor to be used by the Lord in ways way beyond anything we could ever imagine. And it's His work. We must always keep that in mind. It's not something that we can make happen. No, but we are vessels in His hand. And oh, to respond to Him when He moves upon us. And oh, to praise the Lord. What wonderful things He does as we praise Him. As we delight ourselves in the Lord. I just wanted to continue where we left off last night. Make His praise glorious. We read Psalm 66. We could read Psalm 67, but we won't. I'll just call your attention to one verse where it says, "Let all the people praise Thee, O Lord. Let all the people praise Thee." So, Sam, does that include you? Yes, it does. Isn't that great? You have that honor. Let all the people praise Thee, O Lord. Let, O God, let all the people praise Thee. Shall we open to that song? Stand and sing it together. It's in our white camp books. Number 62. Seated. I hope that everyone understands that those nobles, those powers are not flesh and blood only. In the case of Ezra and Zechariah and all, there was this governor, right? But he was motivated by something. There was a power behind him. We understand that, right? Don't think that I'm going to praise the Lord and Lord, take care of Osama bin Laden or Ahmadinejad or whatever his name is. I think I got it right. Or some other leader that you don't like. There are principalities and powers that we come against, And when we praise the Lord, God stretches out his hand and does his work. And some of those powers are right here. Right here. God wants to break fetters in you and me. That's the way we should think of this. God does wonderful things for us. He takes things out of us that don't belong, and he fills us with his love and his joy and his peace. See, there's an inward working. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear, that not just we all understood that. I want you to know that that's the way I look at it, too, that in the New Testament, God comes to loose us and bind them, praise the Lord, and take away the power that these things hold over us. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law. You are under grace. So let's praise the God of our salvation. He's able to save you to the uttermost, and me too. All who come unto God by Jesus, he ever lives. He is saving us now, and we can praise him for that. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Third verse.
Had I a thousand tongues to sing, the half could ne'er be told of love so rich, so full and free, of blessings manifold, of grace that faileth never, peace flowing as a people praise thee.